Today, I'd like to speak about hidden treasure. This is the story about our being vessels that contain a treasure within. And no matter how fragile that vessel is, or how formidable are the pressures upon that vessel, the inner treasure is of greater power than the outward pressure. There is a scripture that talks about that treasure, which is the life of Jesus within us, being made evident in our lives, no matter what is going on in our circumstances. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in us. So then, death is working in us, but life in you." Many people are asking the question in this time of COVID-19 distress and affliction, how are we going to come out the other end? Well, how are we going to come out the other end? Our future material circumstances remain uncertain, and restrictions upon our freedom of movement and interaction are being gradually eased. Our health and hygiene guidelines stay constant. But there is a massive question, and that is, how are we going to come out the other end emotionally? And that massive question depends massively on how we are going to come out the other end spiritually. Paul speaks in that scripture about having experience of his being hard-pressed or under pressure, feeling perplexed or trapped, feeling threatened and being hard hit. Now, some or all of that is what many people can readily say right now they are experiencing to some degree. The negative outcomes Paul could have ended up with after all of this were his being crushed, being in despair, feeling forsaken, or even being destroyed. And these are natural human responses to those kinds of pressures. And those kinds of pressures have seemed to hit everybody on the planet all at once at this moment in one way or another. They're all a matter of degree, and people can get stuck in a cycle of negative emotional reaction, which is now happening. When Paul, who was once Saul, persecuting Christians, would allow those negative reactions to define him, it was because he was getting angry and fired up into aggressive or defensive action because of his demand on the inside to justify his being right and other people being wrong. He had to blame somebody. He had to find something in which he could base that opposition, that need to control or to punish. And the Bible tells us how he went into people's houses and dragged them into prison and even had them killed. Somehow, having that pent-up emotion, that negative reaction going on in him, he would feel self-empowered in some way. That's because those emotional reactions have an energy, a negative energy. And that comes from a negative spiritual energy. But the converted Paul found a distinctive inner spiritual energy in all of the pressure he described and experienced, and what he said that happened to him during this standing against the pressure was he experienced the excellence of the power of God within him. He knew he was just a vessel, perhaps a fragile vessel in many ways emotionally, but he experienced the excellence of the power of God within him. Now, the word for excellence in the Greek in this verse is hyperbole, which is the word we use colloquially to mean exaggerated or overstated. The actual Greek word, when you break it down, means to be thrown out beyond the normal range. Hyperbole, thrown out above. In other words, Paul experienced a power that was like being out in another orbit. It operated above the normal energy of willpower or mere emotional determination. He found the power of the indwelling life of God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This spiritual energy that Paul found within him became the treasure of Paul's heart, and in the Bible, this is called the kingdom of heaven. Let me read a scripture in Matthew 13 where Jesus says this. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Paul knew the treasure was there, and he learned how to access it. He had learned to sell off some things in order to acquire the better thing. God had changed him. He said he had suffered the loss of all things to gain Jesus, to be found in him, to be found in his field, actually, and to find his treasure in that field. How do we do this? It is the difference between living in the mindset of the kingdom or living in the mindset of the world, living in the natural or living in the spiritual. I can sell off all that extra emotional baggage and negative mindset and buy the field where the treasure is. We don't buy the treasure. We buy the field, the whole field, and the field yields the treasure. That field becomes our new heart, the new territory that we possess on the inside. It is the kingdom of God within us. It contains within it all the goodness of God that we can receive through faith. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we can be filled with all the fullness of God, the length and breadth and depth and height of his love. Now that is extraordinary, but it's true. He says it's according to the power that works within us. So what we receive in that fullness of God is firstly, all spiritual blessings that we have through Jesus, the love and the peace and the joy. And it is also the beautiful promise of Jesus to us about not being anxious about material needs like the world is, but rather seeking first the kingdom of God within us. And then all those things, the material things, will be added to us because our Father knows we have need of those things. All of that is the treasure. The economic forecasters are telling us how doubtful they are about economic recovery, and that is quite a rational argument. But God provides for those who truly trust him, who buy the right field and sell off the anxiety and stress and possess their souls through faith and patience. God gives us a new heart and new desires, and we trade off the old heart and sell off the old territory and its negative emotional baggage that seeks to attach itself to us, to our soul. Our spiritual journey is one of being aware of having a new heart. That's how it starts. Every decision of faith in that new territory of the new heart grows the area of this new territory. The old territory or old heart gives way as the new territory expands. The new heart is expanding and the old territory has to give way to it. Throughout the Old Testament, God had been promising that he would give us a new heart, a heart that would respond to his love and take away the old hard heart that goes its own way and continually misses the mark. In the Bible, the word sin means to miss the mark. That's the big mark to miss badly that beautiful mark. That is the new covenant, a new heart, and a new spirit. That is since Jesus. But until we actually start trading this baggage off, the negative baggage, we can't afford to buy the field, as our old inner field is taking up all the space. Either Jesus is evident in us, or the baggage of anxiety is. If we know the difference, we can choose. The new territory contains the treasure of faith and hope and love. The old territory we sell off contains anxiety and despair and resentment. I've heard many TV interviews recently with excellent commentary from many experts on the different aspects of the COVID-19 crisis. Now, some were walking encyclopedias of the economic options. Now, others were walking, talking medical dictionaries of the health crisis. But when any of them were asked about how we are going to come out of this in their particular category, they would end up saying, "We don't know how this will work out. It's unknown." There's another group of experts that are very interesting to listen to, and their specialty is understanding and comparing the different models in the different countries and the regions and the states that have different combinations of greater restrictions on either the economic or the health factors. And they compare the merits and deficiencies of those models. But when asked which model is the best combination, which country is actually doing it just the way they should, the answer is, we cannot say as yet. It's unknown. But each one of us can know how we are going to come out of this spiritually and emotionally. I personally think that this awareness is part of the Holy Spirit awakening in the earth in our day. Can you imagine how futile it would be for us to say, well, we can think this through. We can work out how to have this world work just the way it should, economically and health-wise. We can make things change in our world. The futility of that is, you cannot do that unless you first let things change within yourself. That's where God is wanting to see the big change. Let's pray that there will be ones that God will have in leadership that get that inner change, that start to understand how to find the field, because the other way doesn't work. In the final verse of that scripture about all the precious and the treasure in the earthen vessels that I read right at the beginning, Paul was able to say, "So death works in us, but life in you." He meant that death working in him was the letting go of the emotional baggage and negative mindset. There's a cost to that. That's where the cross comes in. That's the gospel of letting go, which leads to the other gospel of resurrection. There's the cross and the resurrection. They're both good news. But sometimes to us, it doesn't seem like good news trying to let go of the emotional baggage, because it wants us. It wants to have the territory in our hearts. But that is death working in us. And that brings life. Because he says, death works in us, and life works in you. Well, the life would work in him first. And what this is meaning is, as far as he was concerned, the life working in you was when he had begun to live that life because of his death to things and his resurrection in Christ in the new thing that he had, the new covenant reality. That life working in you was the faith and hope and love with him that he can impart into the hearts and minds of those around him. It was a spiritual energy that just radiated from him. And that is what Paul calls, also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, true spiritual ministry. God is there for you in the midst of the current crisis to give you faith and hope and love. God is there with you in this crisis to impart faith and hope and love. If all that we have as a mindset is the pain of the adversity and distress of today, that will start to define us according to what we don't have and what we are not. But if we have that inner treasure within us, that is able to truly define us by what we do have and who the new person is that we truly are in God. And whatever that mindset is, the one or the other, that becomes the spiritual energy that radiates out from us as who we are. We have to sell off that don't have and I am not for what we actually do have and are now, who we really are. And we have to allow the excellence of the power of God, that real inner state of who we are, to be found in us. That hyperbole in that field, that new spiritual territory of our heart. It is a spiritual energy exchange. We can experience the peace and the rest of that beautiful field. He takes us into the field. And as David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The treasure within is our spirit joined to the Lord's spirit. It is realized as a conscious presence with Jesus so that his life can be expressed through our life. It does not have to be a feeling. It is accepted as a fact, a spiritual reality of faith. Paul says in these sorts of issues, he says, reckon yourself. He just says, make account of this. Put it down, write it in the ledger. This is you. This is the reality. Now, the feelings can follow faith, the witness of the spirit of joy, a buoyancy that lifts us up into another orbit around our center now, who is God. We now become God-centered and not self-centered. David was able to testify of this ever-present presence in the Psalms. And in Psalm 139, David says this, God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in your light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, they're all the same to you. So what gets in the way of this treasure? Well, what gets in the way of this treasure being taken hold of and realized in our lives is all the reactions going on in our minds and emotions and their relentless and demanding claim on the inner territory of our heart. No, you put up the sign, no trespassing. I've bought a new field. Now, these demanding claims try to tell us who we are and what we don't have. And I'll say again, they make us feel self-conscious instead of God-conscious. But in Matthew chapter 13, we'll repeat that scripture, the words of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to acquire that field. Thank you for drawing us into your orbit of the excellence of the power that lifts us up and overcomes the heavy weights of the negative emotions that would seek to oppress us. We come to you as your vessels today, and you fill us with your treasure. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.